I mean, oh, it's the fish fry that's coming. And you get so tied up with all the cares. That was one of the things in the parable that choked the word, was the cares of this life. Nothing wrong with some of these things in life. But Lord, I could stay so busy today, I didn't even show up for church. I could just make it happen that way and say, well, I'm so busy, man, I just couldn't get off, you know. And I get so carried away with the cares of this life. Then when the lion roars, I'm as weak as other men because I'm entangled with the affairs of other men more than I am the things of God. Am I teaching you anything? So get loose from people that tie you down. Jesus went to call people to follow him. That's why he called them disciples, because it took discipline, especially in the first. You know, anytime you change from what you were doing to something else, Peter was a fisherman, and now he's going to follow Jesus around. It took discipline to do that. But once it becomes a way of life, it doesn't require the discipline that it uses, because this is just what I do. I know we have church, I come. I make ways to. I don't have to discipline myself and say, well, now, you know, I don't really want to go. I got other things I could do, but, you know, I'm going to make myself go. Praise God, there's a blessing when you go. No, that's just what I do. So you get rid of that having to discipline yourself to do it, because that's who you become. And so that's what he was saying. Deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow me, or you cannot be my disciple. And so he goes to one, he says, you want to follow me? He said, well, I would love to do that, Jesus, but I bought some oxen and I have to go try them. Cares. See, he was tied up. He said, another one he goes to, how about you? Would you like to follow me? Oh, I'd just love to, Jesus, but I'm kind of tied up this weekend. I bought some property, and I have to go see about my property. You know, there may be people deer hunting on my property, and I got to make sure that all my postage signs are up. But after that, I'll be happy to follow you. He said, goodbye. He goes to another, how about you, sir? Would you like to follow me? He said, no, sir. I'm tied up for the rest of my life. I married a wife. I'm tied up all my life. He said, I understand. See you later. All of these things being tied up until you can never really be effective in living for God because you're tied up. Verse 15, and he found, these people are coming after him. See, they roared against him, and here comes a thousand Philistines. This ain't one little line. This is 1,000 Philistines. And he found. He had time to look. The young lion roared and he bit with his own hand. But now, oh my God. And let me tell you, you come at me, I'll grab this. I'll take this. I'll choke you with this. I'll find something. I'll throw my pen at you. I'll get it. I'll find whatever is close to me to fight you. Because I don't have time. Say, I'll be back. Just hold what you got. I'm going to go get my machine gun. I'll be right back. I know where a tank is at. Y'all just stay right. You don't have time now. You better already made your vow, because you need to be ready until the lion roars. And so here he goes. He found a new jawbone of an ass. I'll just use this. And he put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. And let me tell you something. Along with an anointed person must always be something else. It's called a vision. You must have a vision if you're going to be anointed, or why be anointed? You have to look ahead. You have to trust God. I'll do it with what I've got, because little is much if God is in it. Hallelujah. I'll just use this. I'll live or die by this. And he went to swinging, and he had a vision. And where there is no vision, the Bible says the people perish. He had to have a vision. He didn't just go, okay, y'all got me, it's 1,000 y'all. He said, I'll fight dying. And so he picks up this jawbone and he goes to swinging. And in his vision, he's going to win, because he's got a vision of what God's supposed to use him for. And when this young lion roared, let me tell you, he had to be creative then. And now he's got to be creative now to fight 1,000 Philistines. And as he fights, they begin to fall one at a time. You know, when you got a vision, you don't notice that it's the jawbone of an ass. You just say, come at me, devil. Come at me. In the name of Jesus, See, you don't notice that this is all you got because you're not going with this. You're going in the name of the Lord. You see, when you really got a vision, you don't look at the trumpet in the picture. You shout in the name of the Lord, you see. When you really got a vision, you don't look that we got to march around the walls of Jericho. Saying, you're going to shout in the name of the Lord because you're looking at the wrong thing. When you really got a vision, you don't worry you got two in the choir. When you really got a vision, you don't worry that you didn't ever notice that you only had four in the youth group and two of them was yours. You don't notice that. When you really got a vision, you don't say, we got so much debt, we'll never climb out of this thing. Because when you really got a vision, you go in the name of the Lord. You don't go in your name or Sam's name or anybody else's name and Uncle Joe's name. You go in the name of the Lord. That's who your vision is in. Hallelujah. And so quit noticing all the things around you and use whatever's available. Lord, can you sing? Can you play the guitar? How about you? Can you lead the choir? We only got two, but can you lead them? Use what you got and God will do the rest. Oh, my Lord. God will never give you too many resources. Because if he gives you too many resources, you'll say, by my might and by my power did I conquer this enemy. He's going to give you something. The Bible says every man's got a measure of faith. He's going to give you something to have faith in. Pick that jawbone, I'll just use this. My. He would kill every roaring lion that would come up against him. One at a time. And when he got through, it was like, kill that devil. He'd just take him, throw him over his shoulder. Come on, buddy. And he'd throw that. And the Bible says when he got through, he looked around. It was heap upon heap. Can you imagine 1,000 dead bodies? It was heap upon heap. Lord, he was throwing them up and stacking them up. I know it's brutal, but that's what he was doing. This is the Bible. Watch. Verse 16. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. Who am I now? Lord, what have I become now? You see, you will never know who you are and what you become until the lion roars against you. And then you'll go, Lord, who am I now? Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Look who I am now through God. Because I could not have done this without God. And I need to tell somebody tonight that God blessed Samson in the process of doing it one at a time. You don't kill four or five with the jawbone of an ass. It's one at a time. And I'm here to tell you, if you'll just conquer your enemies one at a time. Tomorrow, I'm going to work on this. And I'm going to work on this. And when I get that done, and you know what? Before long, you keep throwing them devils over your shoulder. You're going to look back and say, it's heap upon heap. You know, Paul said it this way. Well, I may not have apprehended everything God's apprehended me for, but this one thing I can do, I can press on, forgetting those things which are behind, all those things I threw over my shoulder, I can press on toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Samson has now been successful at killing, listen close, the enemy he could see. He has now been successful killing the ones that roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. He had killed all of his visible enemies. But I want to tell you that he didn't do a march and a dance. And they weren't singing like they did when David killed one. They said he killed 10,000. He actually slew 1,000. And so rather than having a victory march, he finds himself when he's beat his external enemies that roared out against him, he found he has an internal enemy called thirst. He's like any other. Now he realizes, I am like any other man. Once he had the victory, are you hearing me tonight? Once he had the victory, he said, I'm just like any other man. And he was dying of thirst. And I will tell you today, in the defense of the ministry today and the preachers today, many of them are dying of thirst. They are dying of internal enemies. They are fighting so many external enemies in the church and around the church and all kinds of enemies that even my dad and grandpa did not have to fight. I'm telling you, these are some brutal enemies of the day that we live in, and you just can't seem to get them well. You can't seem to get them over. You can't seem, and you just keep fighting, and before long, you find, oh, God. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking, heap upon heap, and his mouth is getting dry, and he cast away the jawbone out of his hand. What good is this going to do me now? And he called the name of that place Ramathilai, means in the jaw. And he was getting, now he was confronted by his non-roaring lion. Now he was confronted by the invisible enemy that could take him out. And he was sore athirst and called unto the Lord, or on the Lord, and said, thou hast given this great deliverance through the hand of thy servant, and now I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. God, will you let my internal enemy deliver me easily into the hand of the ones I have once conquered? We have to be careful, my brothers and sisters, that even when as we fight the enemies of this life, that we don't get so weak in spirit ourselves that we die of thirst when he has a fountain of water to drink from. Now, I want you to watch close. Now that he's fought and conquered this external enemy, he discovers there is a weakened condition inside of his own self, that he finds out, I really am like every other man except the Lord come upon me. And he's got to be careful that he wins the battle but loses the war. And Samson had the victory, but he's dying of something internal. And many times, if you're not careful, my brothers and sisters, you can look so victorious in this life. Man, I wish I was as strong as him. I wish I was as strong as her. And you never know, they're fighting an internal enemy that you don't see. And he called on the name of the Lord. And I'll say it the way I would say it. Lord, it don't seem right. It just doesn't seem right. I don't get this. I don't understand how you let me take the jawbone of an ass, this little bitty thing, and slay 1,000 people, and now I will die of thirst and give myself over to the uncircumcised to die at their hand. I don't understand this. But can I take you back down memory lane for just a minute to the first time that the Lord came mightily upon him? The lion roared against him. The enemy came against him. I read somewhere in the book that he said, there's no temptation he put on you more than you could bear without a way of escape. And he said, I will make the way of escape with that temptation. Isn't that what the book says? With that temptation. Can I tell you, he took that lion and he rent him as he would a kid, and he left him there, but he came back. And with the same thing that he killed, there was a hollow spot in the carcass of that lion. And out of that fight, and out of that brutality that went on, and out of that strength, and yet out of that weakness that he had, but God's strength, he found honey, something to sustain him, something to give him sweetness out of the victory, something to say, you know what? That's strange, because the Lord must be in this thing, because this is strange to get something sweet out of a bitter thing like this. And God has ways of helping you through that temptation and through that fight to find the sweetness that's inside of it. So now that I've refreshed your memory on that, here's this man dying of thirst. He just fought another kind of lion, 1,000 Philistines. Verse 19, but God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw. He'd already thrown it down. So many times we throw it down too quick, my brothers and sisters. We give up too quick when he said, I'll take what you used against the enemy and I'll give you strength from it. But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drank, his spirit came again, and he revived. In other words, he didn't die like other men. Hallelujah. God's not going to let you die like other men when you live for him. Wherefore, he called the name of that place in Hakor, which means fountain of the crier. Fountain of the crier. He cried unto the Lord. Like David said, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Oh, my God. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. He went on to do what God had called him to do. And we know the end of his story, how he killed more in his last day that he lived than he did all the days prior to that time. As they come tonight, I want to remind you of this one thing before you go. God has a hollow place for you in every trial you go for. He's got a cleft in the rock. He's got some manna. He's got water. He's got what you need. He's not going to let you die as other men when you live for him. I'm not telling you you're not going to breathe your last breath and all these kind of things. What I'm telling you, I won't perish like other men because I have hope. Hallelujah. In the one that supplies water out of the jawbone of an old ass, and he gave water out of a rock. I've got someone that can sustain me when I get weak. What did the angel do? He fed Elijah, and he woke him up a second time. He said, you better eat, boy. The journey is long. And he lived 40 days off the strength of that meat. God's not going to let you die like other men. Even Jesus, the Bible says, the angels came and ministered unto him. You're not going to die like other men. Brother, he died as sin, so I don't have to die as sin. He took my place. Hallelujah. And he took what he had slain these Philistines with, and it nourished him back to health. In our text, it says, be sober, meaning be awake, be of a sound mind. Be vigilant, meaning be watching, keenly watching to detect any danger. You can be so sober and be awake and not be watching for any danger. Because he said, your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Can I warn and help somebody tonight? Anytime the devil wants to get you, he will isolate you. He'll isolate you. Weakest times of my life, I lived in isolation. The weakest times of any man, any woman, isolation. And the devil wants to isolate you. Lions don't attack herds, they attack one. They chase the herd till they find the weak one. And then they'll surround him and they'll isolate him. I'm just telling somebody, you better stay close to the crowd. And the crowd I'm talking about, those that are living for God, your brothers and your sisters. Because I'm telling you, the devil wants to isolate you. And when you get isolated, your mind starts playing tricks on you. Lord, you start thinking things you shouldn't say. You start going places you shouldn't go. You start doing things you shouldn't do. That's what the lion wants to do, is to isolate you so he can attack you. Oh, my God. Resist, he said, steadfast, that devil in faith. I read a scripture that James said, draw nigh unto God, and he'll do what? He'll draw nigh unto you. Our problem is when you're in isolation, rarely do people draw nigh unto God. They drift away from God. We need to draw nigh unto God. And when you draw nigh unto God, he will draw nigh unto God, unto you. And then, he said, you can resist the devil, the roaring lion. And he will flee from you. I don't know about you, but I get tired of running. It's not my job to run, it's his job to run. My job is to stand and depend on him. Amen. After you've suffered a while and been perfected a while, he'll establish you, strengthen you, and settle you, because God wants the dominion over every roaring lion. I close with this thought tonight as you stand. I've learned that boasting doesn't mean anything. saying how tough you are and how God uses you, and you're just asking for trouble. They say on the cell phone commercials, talk is cheap. Well, that's not true, but faith without works is dead. You can say all this stuff you're going to do, all this stuff you're going to do. The Bible says that the prodigal son came, he came to himself. And when he came to himself, he rehearsed in his mind first. He said, I will arise and go to my father's house and tell my father that I have sinned against thee and against heaven and no longer worthy to be called your son. And he arose. See, we keep rehearsing it. Lord, I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to my, I'm going to, and we keep rehearsing it, but rehearsing it never reverses it. He reversed it after he rehearsed it because he arose and he went unto his father's house and said what he had rehearsed. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell somebody tonight that it may not seem like, I've tried my best, Lord, I try my best to tell people, you may not understand me today. You may not think you need to do that. And I know you think it's Pentecostal, and I know you think that you don't need to do that. And it's, I'm old fogey and all that kind of stuff. But I'm here to tell you that when the lion roars, you'll wish you had listened. And you think you can stand on your own, but the Bible says, he that thinks he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And you think you don't need to do all this stuff, but when was the last time you faced the roaring lion and he ran from you instead of you running from him? Could it be because you have not submitted yourself all the way to God? I'm sure Samson thought that vow's not paying off. I get tired of this long hair he had, you know. That was his vow to God. You know, I want to drink a little bit like everybody else does. You know, I feel like they shun me because I'm not like them. But when the lion roared, it was a different story. Who is this guy? Wow, where do you get that great strength from? Let me tell you, just keep doing what you're doing until the lion roars. Just keep what you're doing until the lion roars. Because I'm here to tell you as a pastor and your friend, let me tell you, your lion will roar. And when he roars, you better have God with you. I don't live a religious thing at all. I live a Bible thing. I might as well tell you. Let me tell you, the organization can't save me. Pentecost can't save me. No religion can save you. The only thing that can save you is the one that died for you. That's the only one that can save you. Hallelujah. I don't want to be tied by the hands of my brethren. Hallelujah. Or my enemy either. Because when the lion roars, I don't want my brethren to have my hands tied to where I can't get loose. When the lion roared, he broke all bands. Hallelujah. So don't think that living for God doesn't work. Wait until the lion roars. Are you with me tonight? It's going to be worth it all. I promise you, it's going to be worth it all. Hallelujah. That's what we usually say. It's going to be worth it all, Brother Petrie. It may not look like it sometimes, but you know why you're still here? Because when the lion roared, you were ready to fight. You had God on your side. Hallelujah. He said, though 1,000 fall on one side and 10,000 on the other, in the Lord will be my strength. Whew, I better shut up. We got to go. Let's sing a song.